brought to you by Penguin.
The Tower by Flora Carr. Read by Kristin Atherton. Summer. From far away, she looks like a roosting bird. She squats, her cloak spread out over the grass on either side. The hem of her nightdress is lifted out of the way, and her hands, large, white, clutch at the folds of linen smock beneath, her elbows aloft, forming triangular wings. Her neck is bent towards the ground, like a water bird peering beneath a wave. Dawn is breaking as Mary empties her bladder onto the damp grass. When she is done, she wipes her hands on her front, like a butcher smearing away the day's blood. Her women, who have been shielding her from the men, now run to her side. In normal times, there would be a gaggle of jeweled noblewomen to accompany her, women who have known Mary since she first sailed to France as a child. But these two women are professional companions, chamberers of mean parentage, conveniently obscure. Mary's skeleton staff for the days ahead, for what lies beyond the water. The three women stand at the edge of the loch, its surface burnished gold with the reflected sunrise. The first chamberer is Marie de Courcelles, or Cuckoo. Cuckoo. Cuckoo is a scowling French woman who traded the warmth and elegance of her homeland for the Scottish court 5 years ago. She is in her mid-twenties, blonde and pink-faced, as though she has been leaning over a steaming pot. There are stray broken veins on her nose, from a sunburned adolescence and an adult fondness for drink. The second woman is Jane, or Jean, or Janet, depending on the name she gives you. She is young and Scottish, and has only been with Mary for a short time. Her face seems at once familiar and forgettable, unless you meet her eyes. She is like a wren, small, quick, dark. While Cuckoo is known for her frankness, her hot passions, Jane's thoughts belong only to herself and her God. Mary is shivering. She wraps her cloak tight around her body and turns. Her belly protrudes, a swollen pillow of flesh, bigger than expected for a woman claiming to be only a month into her pregnancy. This will be her second child, and already she's afflicted with the same morning sickness that plagued her previously. There's a sour reek of piss mingled with Mary's breath, hours-old vomit. She begins to cry. She cries easily, especially now, and tells her women she cannot stand it. She cannot speak or breathe without regurgitating the stench of her last meal. Her throat is still burning. Jane reaches into her bodice and pulls out a sprig of lavender, warm from her skin, and waves it in front of Mary's nose. Cuckoo trumps her with an orange studded with cloves, a gift from Mary herself in better times. The men are there. Cuckoo, who still speaks little of the Scots language, has both the innocent boldness of a child and the protective hostility of a foreigner. She stares them down with contempt. Jane, eyes lowered, wants to caution her. She says nothing. In her palaces, Mary moved like a courtesan, or an artist's model, arching her back, supple-boned, tilting her head, pouting her mouth, playing with loose strands of hair, biting her bottom lip as she read, touching herself, her neck, her chest, her wrists, trailing fingers across bare skin as though lost in thought, aware always of the eyes on her. Now she coughs up bile on the grass. Now she sniffs under her armpits. Now she walks away from a puddle of her own piss, her cloak trailing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?